Today we continue our sermon series, Is That Really in the Bible? During this series, we're exploring spiritual urban legends, things that people say that sound true, and they're repeated so often that some of them even attribute these things as coming from the Bible. So we're going to pull out our magnifying glasses and check into this. And today, I want you to think about when you were a young person coming out of high school and you had all kinds of decisions that you were about to make. Do I go to work or do I go to college? Where do I work? Where do I go to college? What should my career path look like? Where should I live? What about dating? What about marriage? If you are a believer, all of these decisions stem from a desire to know what is God's will for my life. And not only do young people face that, we face it in different stages and parts of our lives. And many people feel that God's will is important, but they also feel that God's will is elusive. Because somewhere along the line, many people have picked up this idea that God has a blueprint for my life. In other words, God has an ideal plan for my life, and I've got to figure out to make the right choices to fit that plan. And if I don't make a right choice here or there, my life is messed up. It's ruined because I didn't follow the blueprint. Now, blueprints are great if you're in the field of construction. They tell you exactly how to build something. How big, how long, all of the dimensions, all of the materials. And blueprints are great because they give in exact detail what you need to do to build this place of your dreams. But when it comes to building your life, there are two primary problems with blueprint thinking. First, you can become paralyzed by fear. You're so afraid of making a mistake that you end up hesitating or overthinking or even rejecting many good and acceptable options. Can you relate with that? Have you ever been paralyzed by fear because you're afraid of making a mistake? Yeah, it happens to a lot of people. But there's another problem that comes with blueprint thinking, and that is you can become self-focused. You are so focused on finding out what you want that you don't even consider who God wants you to be. For instance, if I were to ask you to list all of the traits that you'd be looking for in an ideal mate, if you think about all these qualities, then I have another question. Why would a person like that want to marry you? In the book, 10 Dumb Things Smart Christians Believe, Larry Osborne wrote this. I'm amazed how often people ask me for prayer regarding whether it's God's will for them to marry someone they're dating, all the while blatantly ignoring His will for their sexuality. I'm never quite sure how to respond. They ask with such sincerity. It's as if it never dawned on them that God might not bother to show them whom to marry when they're already ignoring His instructions about how to date. It's not as if God's will for sexuality is hard to find. It's clearly spelled out in the Bible. In most cases, they already know what He wants them to do. They just don't think it works for them. So what does the Bible have to say about this issue of blueprint thinking? Well, let's take a look at Romans chapter 12. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles there. If you'd like to use a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 913. We'll be looking at the first two verses of Romans 12, so follow along with me there. This is the Apostle Paul writing, and he says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." So Paul says here that he pleads with us to give our bodies to God because of all of he's done, but he wants us to make them a living and holy sacrifice. Now, when we read the word sacrifice, we have a very different understanding in our culture today than how the people in the first century would have taken this. Sacrifice does not mean like when you forego dessert or when you give up something for what some churches celebrate during the season of Lent. That's not a sacrifice in the way Paul meant it here. In the first century, when someone read this word sacrifice, they understood it to be an animal sacrifice, a sacrifice to cover your sins. Paul is calling on us to give our bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, you know, when people brought an animal sacrifice to the priest would kill the animal before putting it on the altar to burn. I had a professor in Bible college that asked us, "Do you know what the biggest problem is with a living sacrifice? It keeps trying to crawl off the altar." That's exactly what Paul pleads with us to do, to give our bodies as a living sacrifice and a holy sacrifice, a sacrifice set apart to God. And he says this is truly the way to worship him. It's kind of like what Ron talked about during communion meditation. Worship isn't just something we do on Sunday mornings. It's to be a way of life, a life that is a living sacrifice set apart to God. And then he says, don't be like the rest of the world. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And once God transforms us, he says, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So if you want to know God's will, you have to let God transform you by changing the way you think. So this idea of God has such a specific, incremental plan for your life, a blueprint, is just not what we see here in Scripture. God does not have a blueprint for your life, but I'd like to suggest today that he does have a game plan. A game plan is very different than a blueprint. A game plan does have components that are important, but there's a lot of freedom within the game plan. So the first part of the game plan that God has for us is we need to master the basics. We need to do the drills, in other words. In using the sports metaphor, our coaches make us do drills so we learn the motions, so we learn how to act in the game. And in the game plan of life, some of the basics that we're supposed to master start with reading God's Word. We need to hide God's Word in our heart. We need to read it. We need to meditate on it. We need to study it so we can get it into our lives. Another part of mastering the basics is learning to talk to God. Now, in the Old Testament days, the Jews would pray 3 times a day. People of the Muslim faith, do you know how many times they pray? That's right, 5 times a day. But there's no command about how many times in the New Testament. In fact, I think the better way to look at it is to make our prayer conversational with God. But do you know, if you ask most people today what they think about prayer, they think prayer's a good thing. But when you ask them, when do you pray? Do you know when most people pray? They pray when they're in trouble. God, please get me out of this. If you only will get me out of this terrible situation I'm in. And they begin bargaining. But God wants to have a relationship with us. And a relationship means that we talk regularly. And I like to talk to God throughout the day, praising him for good things that happen, asking him for help when things aren't going so well. And it becomes a normal part of life to have this conversation with God. Another important basic to master is doing what God says. It's one thing to read it and to know what he wants. It's another thing to talk to him about it. But where the rubber hits the road is when we actually do what God says. We actually obey what he says. A lot of people know what they ought to do, but they don't do it. And then the final part of mastering the basics is actually walking with others. And you know, when you're walking with others, that kind of supports the other things. If you're walking with other people who are reading God's Word and having this ongoing conversation with God and are focused on doing what God says, it's a whole lot easier to do when you're walking with other people. Let me give you an example. We did get to help many families in our community this week when we donated items for the school supply drive. We got a lot of kids' backpacks and all their school supplies, and we did that because it was encouraged by our church and the other churches in our community, and we helped about 125 kids this week, which is great. But you know, if I wasn't part of a church family, it might not have even occurred to me. It might not have even been on my radar screen. I may not have made any kind of donations or given to families because I wasn't being encouraged to do it. And so the whole idea of walking with others helps make us strong. It helps us to follow the basics of the game plan of God. And after we master these basics, the second thing that's so important is to obey what you know. Do it. Don't just talk about doing it, but actually obey it. Get in the game and do it. Now, there's a passage in Ephesians 5 that addresses this issue of God's will. It's in Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 20. Look what the Apostle Paul wrote. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's will for us, not to be filled and controlled with substances like alcohol, but instead to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we just did our series, Selah, Summer in the Psalms, where we talked about singing psalms and hymns and poems and prayers and making this music in our hearts to God and praising Him for who He is and what He's done. That's God's will for our lives. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 to 8, some very practical things about God's will for our lives. Look at what this says. God's will is for you to be holy, so stay away from all sexual sin. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like pagans who do not know God in his ways. Never harm or cheat a Christian brother in this matter by violating his wife, for the Lord avenges all such sins, as we have solemnly warned you before. God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. Therefore, anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human teaching, but is rejecting God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. So this is God's will, that you be holy, that you live by these teachings. And if you don't, you're not disobeying human teaching, but you're rejecting God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 to 22, Paul continues and says this, "Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Holy Spirit's fire. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil." Did you see it here? This is God's will. It's about this game plan. in this game plan includes always being joyful, always praying, and always being thankful, no matter the circumstance. See, God's will is about a game plan. So I want you to remember, the next time you hear about God having a blueprint for your life, just remember this. It's not in the Bible. So what's the deal with all of these decisions that we have to make? Well, the Bible places very little emphasis on these kinds of decisions that we commonly stress over. Do I go to work or do I go to college? What's my career path? Where do I live? Who do I date? Who do I marry? Again, God doesn't give a blueprint to outline these types of decisions. The primary emphasis is on developing godly character and daily obedience to God's word. That's what God's concerned about. God does have a plan for all of us. It's not a blueprint, but it is a game plan with lots of freedom to make choices in your daily life. Let me put it to you this way. God doesn't care as much about where you work as much as he cares about how you work. God doesn't care as much about where you live as much as he cares about how you live. God doesn't care as much about whom you marry as much as he cares about how you do marriage. Do you see the difference here? There is lots of freedom to make decisions, but God is much more important about you developing character and integrity and living it out in a way that brings him honor and glory. You know, there were a lot of people in Jesus' day who were worried about getting their basic needs met. And Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Look what he says. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Important words from Jesus. So my challenge for you today is this. Are you in a place where you're asking for God's will about a specific decision in your life while you're ignoring the basics of his game plan? You need to remember, life is not about finding something you want, but about becoming who God wants you to be. And so my challenge has to do with encouraging you to master the basics, to learn to read God's word every day, to learn to communicate with God conversationally, and have a focus in your life on not just hearing what he wants you to do, but actually living it out, and by walking it out with other believers. And after you've mastered the basics, let's focus on obeying what you know, taking what you know and applying it to your life in living it out every day. God does not have a blueprint for your life, but He does have a game plan. So master the basics and obey what you know. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, we thank You that You love us so much, that You do have a plan for us, but it's not a blueprint that we have to try to figure out, but it's a game plan that gives us lots of freedom to make the other kinds of choices. Help us to be people of integrity and godly character. Help us to be people who will bring honor and glory to Jesus by the way that we live. Help us, Father, not to stress out about too many of the details. Thank You so much for this freedom within the game plan to live our lives in a way to bring honor and glory to Jesus. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response song.
And the voice of truth says, this is for My glory.